Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You are listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. We are here every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern for those people on the Eastern time zone with a great friend of ours. His name is Coach Irvin Harris. And Coach Irvin Harris is a basketball coach. Now, he's been a football coach as well, but he is now a basketball coach. And he's a basketball coach for a university or a college. And he's been lots of different places in the basketball field, lots of different stuff on the football field as well. And even before that, he's done some IT work and some law enforcement work as well. But he finds great enjoyment right now with training and developing young men on the basketball court. So he's got a basketball news domain name, basketballcoach.news, that he's putting together eventually. And no pressure, because he's busy doing basketball right now. But we put him on the Building Fortunes Radio platform. So if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com and then do Coach Irvin or look for a guest called Coach Irvin, you'll find this as well as all the other radio shows that we've done with Irvin Harris along the way. But one of the reasons why we got this started is because I've spoken to Irvin Harris a lot, like as an individual. He's a customer of ours, a friend as well. We've spoken about different and various things and always get involved in pretty lengthy conversations. And recently we wrote in the process of writing our KISC book. KISC stands for Keep It Simple Circle. So if you're training people and you want them focused on stuff, you want them to focus on a half a dozen or so things that are inside their Keep It Simple Circle. So I knew I could call Irvin Harris and find out what KISC was like for one of several topics. He is a kick butt kombucha guy. Like, he knows how to get that brew going like nobody else. And he's also super smart in a lot of different areas. His wife is excellent as well in the areas that she's an expert in. But I said, you know, I bet you there's a KISC for basketball. There's got to be a Keep It Simple Circle thing for basketball, and you're the best one to be able to talk about it. So let's do some radio shows on this, and that's how we got started. So without further delay, Coach Irvin Harris, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Peter, thank you very much for that wonderful introduction, and it is so awesome to be here on the show with you. You know, we go back a long way, Peter.
Yeah.
And we were talking about some of those experiences, you know, going back to the early 2000s, and I have to commend you for the work that you've done in helping, a high number of people. I would have to say it's in the tens of thousands, unless, you know, it's probably more than that. But all I know is all the work that you've done and all the products that you had available. From a networking, a standard and perspective, it's amazing how well you get to know a person just from all the great and wonderful services that they provide to their customers. And you reached out, you called me in reference to the KISC concept, the Keep It Simple Circle concept, and it makes so much sense. And that concept is one of the reasons why you and I are here on the show, because you've made this opportunity available to not just myself, but to some of the guests that I've invited in on the show that you've blessed me to be able to have on this forum. I feel that we're going to be able to help a lot of individuals in the area of basketball. And you mentioned kombucha.news. And, that's another site that I'll get up and get going, because kombucha wasn't even mainstream when I started making it. That was about 17 years ago. And kombucha is all over the place. It's in Walmart. It's in grocery stores. It's everywhere. And they have distilleries that have converted convert it into making kombucha. And anybody out there want to know about kombucha, all you got to do is Google Ronald Reagan and kombucha, and boy, will you get a lot of information just from doing that. You know, but that's for another day. Today, we're here to talk basketball news, and I have a wonderful guest here today, a very experienced basketball coach who's building a women's program at a college in Virginia. I'm sure that, you know, we're going to have a wonderful show today, and I'm looking forward to having him back sometime in the future, because there's only so much information that you can get out in one show. But the college that he's building a program at is called Mary Baldwin University, and it's in Staunton, Virginia. And his name is Coach Brad Rideout. I've had the pleasure of working in the same conference with him, and it's nothing better than to go against a competitor on the other side and become friends. You know, all coaches aren't enemies when we go against each other, because we're all working for the same reasons and for the same purposes, and those are some of the things that we're going to talk about in today's show. And what I would like to do is I would like to start this off by introducing Coach Brad Rideout to the audience and give him an opportunity to tell us a little bit about his self and the storied long career, and I would say successful career, that he has had in the past in coaching basketball. He actually coached both boys, girls, women, and men. And I met him when we went against each other in the YSCC, which is the Yankee Small College Conference. At the time, he coached the women and the men at the same time at a school, Paul Smith College. And I coached the men, and him and I both had the honor the very same year. It'll be a couple of years in 2025. At the end of the school year, him and I both were awarded the Coach of the Year Award in the Yankee Small College Conference. And, you know, when I get basketballcoach.news, I'm going to have that picture that him and I took together, and it's going to be up and presented for people to go back and take a look at or listen to this show and even you know, read some information that was discussed on the show. But at this time, Coach Paul.
Yes, sir.
Coach Rideout, I'd like to introduce you, man. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
First and foremost, thank you very much, Coach, for having me on your show, as well as you, Peter. I was born and raised in South Central Pennsylvania, a small town by the name of Chambersburg. It is the next to last town in the state of Pennsylvania before you hit the state of Maryland border. So that tells you how far down south in the state of Pennsylvania I lived. Lived about 2 hours from the state capital, Harrisburg. To the west of us about 4 hours was Pittsburgh, and to the east of us about 3 hours, three and a half, was Philadelphia. Needless to say, living close to the Maryland line that I did, I am still a big, you could say, Maryland sports fan. I love the Orioles, the Washington Wizards. Nobody crack any jokes about that. Are my NBA team. My football team was Indianapolis Colts. Unfortunately, we were in Baltimore once upon a time, but we moved out at midnight. I've been coaching. I started the coaching bug at Messiah College when I was 23 years old as an assistant coach. Just had a journey up here to Paul Smith in the Adirondacks, and now I'm going south to Virginia. In between, I had an assistant coaching job at Messiah College, Shippensburg University, and I was a head women's basketball coach at Green Mountain College. And also on the men's side, I was an assistant coach at Chereka University in Nashville, Tennessee. I've got quite a few years under my belt as a college coach. I coached at four different high schools, one in Vermont, two in Pennsylvania, and one in Maryland. So I have basically 9 years of coaching between 5 at the college level and 4 at the high school level. Not all women. I have coached men as an assistant at the other colleges. And as Coach Irv said, last season I was very fortunate enough to be able to coach both the men and women's college teams at Paul Smith College in the same season.
Well, during that season that you coached, weren't you also holding a position as the athletic director at that time, or were you doing some assistant athletic directing work when you were Paul Smith?
At that time, I was the main events coordinator, and this past season I was the SAC leader, the faculty SAC administrator. Haven't dabbled yet in that AD position yet. I don't know if I'm built for that. I'm more of a competitive type of guy. I'm built more for coaching, I would say.
So when you were
and
coaching,
go
ahead.
I'm fortunate enough. I just finished the first semester here at Paul Smith College. I got the first 11 games of the semester, and while I was doing that, I was also recruiting and still recruiting for Mary Baldwin University. We'll be moving down to Virginia December 30th, so I will be on campus and working full-time, full-fledged with Mary Baldwin University, not having to worry about any X's and O's or any game plan for this year.
Well, during your tenure at Paul Smith, weren't you scheduling basketball games for the women and even the men?
Yes, I did scheduling for both the men and women's program for the season we're in right now. Yes, I did.
Aren't those duties of an athletic director to be doing the scheduling for basketball teams to play in competition?
Yes. So I guess you could say I did doodle a little bit in the athletic department, athletic director's role. But yes, you're right about that.
Okay, because that's why I mentioned the athletic director work. So that must have been something that he allowed you to do by delegating that down to you, or is it just something that needed to be done?
A combination of both, delegated down and needed to be done, which wasn't too hard since the conference already had the conference schedule done. I just had to find out-of-conference teams and plug them in the dates that were open.
Okay, well, you know, sometimes with changes in administration, those are some of the duties that basketball coaches, and that's if they won a season, especially when they have the connections and they already know the coaches, and not only the coaches, even some of the athletic directors and some of the other programs, because when it comes to scheduling, they're not going to make themselves, especially the non-conference games. Because you'll be looking at situations to where the only games you'll have scheduled are those that are non-conferenced.
Right.
And those schedules will be made up by the athletic directors of the other schools, not taking into account what preferences are going to be best for your school. So you'll be playing a game schedule that is not conducive to any success that your school could potentially have by the competition making the schedule for you.
Exactly. And it is somewhat time consuming because you have to take into consideration holiday breaks as well as finals week. You don't want your college students not to have the opportunity to go home, especially with basketball, because a lot of people would look at the two major holidays as Thanksgiving and Christmas. So you do have to make time for them to have the ability to go home and spend time with their families. And then you also have the end of the semester finals coming up. So you got to make sure that they have enough time where they're able to concentrate on their academics and they give themselves a break mentally from basketball to concentrate on those academics, because we know how trying and tying finals can be, for sure.
So with the basketball season, I'm sure you would agree with me, there has to be not only understanding, but there's a lot of juggling that goes along with not only the creation of a schedule, but as you mentioned, you got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, you have New Year's, you have the first half of this season, you have X amount of weeks that you can practice for the whole entire season, which actually stretches over a whole school year. It starts in the fall, and it ends in the spring,
Coach,
especially if you're blessed enough to go to nationals.
Exactly, and I'll tell you, basketball, a lot of coaches would probably argue with this of other sports, but I think basketball has to be the longest sport there is. And the other thing that you got to take in consideration is you only have so many weeks to get your schedule done before you start playoffs or before you head off the nationals. Not that other sports don't have deadlines, they have to make sure their season is done before playoffs, but in basketball you have a certain date that you got to have everything done by.
Well, would you say that it takes interesting type of individual to be a basketball coach, especially a college one that transcends over an entire school year, because that is how it is. It's not like high school where they, even though that spreads over the Christmas holiday, because a lot of the high school teams start their schedule after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it's 3 months. College basketball, it's a long time. It's many, many months. And taking that under consideration, what you're doing is you're building a brand new program at the Mary Baldwin University. So in doing that, when will you actually start competing?
Our season will start next year. We will start on October 15th with our first practice, and then we will start our competitions around the Thanksgiving time before or after. I haven't really sat down yet and had an opportunity to see what our conference schedule looks like next year or make any phone calls to start or out of conference. But we're looking at October 15th and games competition to start around the Thanksgiving time, maybe a week before.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I do want to ask some more questions about the upcoming season. You know, first I would like to know a little bit more about the transitions that you made to women's basketball from men's basketball or vice versa, because you've got many years of experience in working with the two of them. And did you start off with women first? You know, from
No, sir. My first four college jobs were all being a men's assistant coach. And that was the two schools in Pennsylvania and school in, at Trevecca University in Nashville. And then that was the first three. Then I got into women's high school and then went over into the women's college game. And then got back into the men's game last year at Paul Smith.
Oh, okay, so the transition back and forth, you know, high school to college, and it's similar to my experience, although you started coaching back in the 90s, didn't you?
Actually, it was, I'm telling my age here, actually it was mid to late 80s.
Mid to late 80s,
but I'm okay. I'm proud of that fact because over time I've learned so much. I was very, very fortunate, Coach, to have a mentor by the name of Sam Harris. He first found me. I was working a basketball camp at Messiah College in Pennsylvania, and he had just got hired the week of our camp that we were having there. He was out at Valparaiso as an assistant coach under Homer Drew during that time. And Messiah Division III school, NCAA, hired him and brought him on. And he was actually, funny story, he was up on the track above the gym where we were holding camp that whole week. And at the end of the week, he tracked me down to the cafeteria, pulled me out in the hallway, and asked me if I ever considered coaching college basketball. And I'm young, snotty-nosed guy. I'm like, no. And he's like, well, if I gave you the opportunity, would you do it? Yeah. So that's where it all began. I had no idea. I mean, everybody noticed, like, people running the track and everything, and everybody kept saying, that guy's been up there all week long. What's he up there doing? He's just staring down. I mean, he was there at the beginning of the day and would stay until the evening. And come to find out, he was a new head coach there with the men's program. And he tapped me on my shoulder one day in the cafeteria and said, can I talk to you in the hallway? And I'm like, sure. And I'm thinking, okay, what's this dude up to? but that's how it all began.
Wow. Well, he must have saw something in you.
Well, yeah, he must have. Hey, Coach, to this day, I don't know what it is, but you know what? We're still really, really close, and I reach out to him many times during the season and out of season just to get some advice from him. After he was a Messiah for about 5 years, he got an opportunity to go to Trevecca in Nashville. One night on the bus, said, hey, I'm taking another job. Would you come along with me? And, of course, yeah. So then I went on. And I went on to Nashville with him for quite a few years. Matter of fact, my two oldest daughters were born in Nashville, so that's how long I was there with him.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm sure you developed somewhat of your coaching philosophy from the experiences that you've had with coaches like Sam Harris. And what have you taken, you know, from him and developed into your own that's going to help you to build this program that you're building over at Mary Baldwin? Because I would assume, let me ask this question. Is this one of your first times experiencing building a program at a university or a college for athletes to be able to compete in?
Actually, this is the first time I've ever really had an opportunity to build a program from the ground up. Coach, you know as well as I do, the really good, successful jobs, when people get them, they never leave. Usually when you're going from school to school, you're rebuilding programs, but there are already players there that are established when you get there. Upperclassmen, juniors and seniors, maybe some sophomores, some freshmen, but this is the first time where I'm actually bringing in quite a few girls. Now, there are still some girls that are on campus that played at Mary Baldwin. The school decided last June not to have a season this year, but there are some girls that are still there. But for the majority of it all, I'm bringing in a lot of players. And this is the first time that's ever happened to me, as well as last year was the first time I ever coached both a college and men's women's program. The first time I ever did two teams in one season. So I'm looking at myself saying, you're doing a lot of first here lately. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it goes pretty well.
Well, that's a lot of work to be coaching both men's and women's programs, as well as putting the schedules together for one and or both of those programs at the same time. So with the challenges that you have ahead of you and getting a team up and running by October 15th of 2025 and starting those first games in around Thanksgiving, what are some of the challenges that you actually are seeing now in building this program, from ground up?
I would say right now, up until this point, Coach, the biggest challenge was giving a lot of my time to Mary Baldwin. Since I did just have a season, we did, you know, the scheduling. You got to do the scouting. You got to put game plan together. You got to go back and watch film. You got to travel. We were just in Maine last weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at both Central Maine and Southern Maine. It just 11 games a semester, I really have not had a full opportunity to give all my time to Mary Baldwin University that I now can, because we just finished our last game for the semester yesterday. So the I would say the 25, 30%, 40% I've been giving Mary Baldwin with reaching out to high school coaches, junior colleges, prep schools, getting on the phone, talking to recruits who are in their season right now as well. I now can give my full 100%, 110% time and energy to getting kids on the phone, keeping my contacts alive, and then moving down December 30th when I'm actually there on campus on a daily basis. I can now get out to local high school games because I'm trying to recruit Virginia out. If I can hit Virginia hard and then work my way out to the surrounding states and start picking up girls, I think I would have accomplished part one of building a program.
Well, you know, me being very aware of and knowing the location of the school that you're leaving, and now you're going to be going over to Staunton, Virginia, you traveled a lot. Just playing in the Yankee Small College Conference, every away game, I mean, you've traveled far. You've traveled to a lot of places, and you spent a lot of time on the bus. Now, you guys did travel on the bus as opposed to driving the vans, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, you know that my experience is driving the vans, and we have to have a couple of vans because when you're coaching men's basketball and you're making all these jaunts to all these different places, but back again to your experience, man, with doing the work and preparing for this season that you have upcoming and all of the miles that you've been driving, and you just, did you just say 40% of the time? I'm just trying to figure out how you are actually able to do the work that you've done up to this point to prepare for your upcoming season, just knowing the miles that you've driven just to compete in your away games. I mean, have you ever calculated the distance that you've driven just to play your away games throughout the course of a season?
No, Coach, I haven't. I'm busy trying to figure out other things. One day, Coach, when it's all said and done and I finally no longer live in a gym, I'm going to sit down and put everything together and maybe write a book. I don't know. I'm debating on that. And I will eventually calculate all the miles, that's for sure. That is definitely for sure. But I'm thinking about writing a book about the journeys and the people I've met, such as yourself, that are good people. Not so much just for the game, but for young people themselves. But no, one day I'm going to sit down and definitely calculate the miles. But and I will have to say this, Coach, any young coach, man or woman, that's going to get into this business and they have a significant other, by God, that significant other better understand, because I could not find a better understanding woman than my wife. Talk about a behind-the-scenes person who gets no credit at all. She gets none. She deserves all the credit in the world because she done a fabulous job, even though I was in the picture. But you know as well as I do, there's never a downtime for coaches. We are in season. Once our season's over, we're at AAU tournaments, we're at showcases, we're on the go, we're living out of hotel rooms. Everybody says, well, it sounds glamorous. Well, it can be, but then sometimes it can be sort of a hardship. But back to my wife, she did a tremendous job raising three very supportive young ladies that are very, very successful in what they do. And I tell people, I get small credit for that one. She gets 99.9% of the credit for it, trust me.
Wow. Just in bringing that up, you know, I just thought about the basketball is round. And basketball's around as a circle. Is there anything that you can state on what basketball coaches can do to keep it simple, not only for their family life, but also within that keep it simple circle concept? Is there anything that you can say in those lines to give any advice to anyone that's involved in, you know, being a spouse or being a coach or even these people who you are going to help, these players that you're going to help that are going to be competing and going to school at Mary Baldwin University. Is there anything that they need to know about you in reference to your philosophy and keeping family together? I guess I could go on and come up with all different types of thought processes in reference to trying to keep things simple throughout this journey. Is there anything that you can say that would make any sense based upon my comment, statement, or question that I'm looking to ask you on this? Is there anything you could say in reference to keeping things simple with all the challenges that basketball coaches face in preparing for an inaugural season, you know, or a startup season for the young people that are coming in to do all the things that you're looking to have them do for your program or for themselves too?
Experience has told me over time, Coach, any chance you get to sit down and have a family meal, take it. Any chance you get to sit down and have family conversations with your loved ones, take it. Take time for yourself. What we've got to remember, and this is what I tell my recruits and the families, is I am and always will be a family-first guy. You know, earlier we talked about Thanksgiving and Christmas. My philosophy, Coach, is I have young ladies or young men playing over Thanksgiving break. I will give them a long extended period of time over Christmas. If I have them playing over Christmas, I will give them an extended long period of time over Thanksgiving. I don't believe in keeping kids, families away from their children, children away from their families, where we got to play over Christmas and we got to play over Thanksgiving. No, we'll play over one, but we will never play over both. And if I can get it set up where we don't have to play over either one, I will try my darndest to do that. It's about family. Because we've got to remember something, Coach. This game only going to last for so long. Life lasts forever. And we're not all guaranteed a lot of time with each other. So we have to take time in our lives. Experience has taught me we've got to take time in our lives for those that we truly, really do care about. Because, Coach, we know that that ball, that air goes out that ball one time, it don't bounce forever. And we've got to make sure, young coaches, older coaches, we've got to understand that. Even as a player, it does not bounce forever. The air does go out of the ball.
You know what, Coach? What you just said right there, do you know that is the recipe for success? Not only as an athlete, as a coach, and for anyone that's out there doing anything in life that can take time away from family. You know, we're building character out here. You know, we're helping build the future as coaches. You know, it may not be on a huge scale, but you got to start somewhere, and you have to do all the right things. Everything that you just said, man, you hit home runs with all that, with all of it.
Well, thank you. And the crazy thing is today, Coach, technology is like it's never been before. When I started this back in the 80s, again, I'm going to tell people, I had to go to a freaking payphone and make a phone call.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even know what they are anymore, Coach. They don't know what payphones are. You're talking about a payphone. Are you kidding me? So today with technology, seriously, we need to sit down as human beings and say, how long does it take to shoot a text in a group family message that says, I love you guys? I may be on the road. Like when I get to start in Virginia, Mary Baldwin University, January, Coach, I'm on the road. I've got to be. If I'm going to recruit players, I got to be out there 6 days a week, 7 days a week. They've told me, you got to go. Just go, 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 recruit, recruit, recruit. Don't worry about game plans, just go recruit. So I may be on the road for weeks, months at a time. But it's not going to take me but 30 seconds before I close my eyes at night and shoot a text that says in the family group, I love you guys.
Yeah.
It's not going to cost me hours upon hours to do that. And with today's technology, how long? And our players, coach, know more about technology today than we will ever know.
Yes.
So how long is it before – how long does it take you before you go to your dorm room and you get in your dorm bed, hit that first thing, last thing at night, I love you, first thing in the morning, good morning, guys, I love you, and then go on with your day. And throughout the day, it doesn't take but 30, 35 seconds to shoot a quick text to tell somebody you love them. So I hate when I hear people saying, I don't have time. No, you've got to make time. You might not have the time, but you've got to make the time.
Well, you know, Coach, with everything that you just stated, you've actually answered a lot of the questions that I was going to ask you in reference to your insights and how you would help your young people to be able to deal with all the challenges that they deal with as student-athletes, because it's not easy for them. And see, sometimes the challenges for student-athletes can be lost within the university settings by all of the different people that are working in all of the different departments that are doing their jobs, to where they will make the experience for college athletes a whole lot more difficult than it really should be. When the athletes are, they could be having some challenges in their home life. You know, some of them come
right.
from single families. And the word family, that is very important. Everything
right.
that you just said. That's good
and,
stuff. And, go ahead.
And one thing I tell my players and the families when I recruit them, because honestly, Coach, I do recruit the player, but I also want to recruit the family. For the simple fact, player may be having a bad day. They may not see me. I could either pick up the phone or shoot mom or dad a text and say, hey, player is having a bad day today. Can you reach out to him before the end of the day because I haven't had a chance to see him? And vice versa. Player may not have reached out to their parents for 2 or 3 days. Give me a phone call. Hey, coach, I haven't heard from so-and-so in 2 or 3 days. When they come back and see what's going on and reach back out to me. Sure. My biggest thing, coach, I tell my players and kids I recruit and families, I have an open-door policy. My door is always open for you. If you want to come in and talk, cool. If you want to come in and say, coach, I need 10 minutes, can you shut the door and go for a long 10-minute walk? Because I need to come in here. I need to cry, I need to yell, I need to scream, or I need to do all the above. Hey, my office is your office. I'm out of here 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I'll go for a walk. I'll go do something. I'll come back. I'll tap on the door and say, hey, can I come in? If they say, coach, I need another 10 minutes. You got it. You got it. And if they don't want to tell me after their 20, 25-minute explosion what it's about, that's okay with me too. I don't need to pry into their personal life. That's what their parents are for. I'm just their basketball coach. If you want to open up to mom and dad or mom. Open up to grandma. Open up to aunt or uncle. You don't have to open up to me. And, you know, technology today can be either helpful or hurtful. That's how I look at it. How you use it depends on if it's going to help you or hurt you. And you got to be careful sometimes on what you say and what you post.
You know, coach, based upon what you just said about being there, would you say that it's probably a whole lot more easier to be available, for a coach to be available, if they're on site working full-time as opposed to being part-time? Because there's a lot of things that can happen when you're not on site, especially when you're capable of bringing so much to that family. Because when you're helping that athlete, you're actually helping and supporting that athlete's whole entire family. And it is so difficult not being employed and working at the college full-time as opposed to living 40 to 50 minutes away. Because when incidents happen, coach, I had one last week to where I made a phone call, and I was checking on something that had to deal with access the information that I needed to help some of the athletes that, you know, some glitch or something with some permission that didn't allow me to check on a few things. And it just so happened that I called. And, you know, one of my players, within the time that I called, the time frame, because of challenges of school and finals, the young man had a seizure. And he was being placed on the ambulance as I was on the phone. You know what? I don't feel nobody would have called me to let me know. I dropped everything that I was doing, and I flew to the hospital to make sure that he was okay. And you know I'm considered to be a part-time coach. I'm not on campus. And everything that you just said made me think about that.
Coach, yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead. 100%, I agree with you, sir. And if I had a magic wand, and I could take my magic wand and swipe it on every college campus in this country, two things I would want college administrators, board of trustees, college presidents to do is have at least one full-time coach per sport and one full-time assistant coach per sport, both on campus, and that's their sole jobs. If I had a magic wand, that's what I would want because, Coach, that is so important. I don't want to take anything away from faculty members. I think they're great people. They're teaching our student athletes a lot about life, a lot about business, communication, whatever they may be faculty members for. But they have so many students that they're working with. Their time is really, really important. They don't always get to know a student athlete by their first name. And I think as coaches, we recruit these kids. We are the first people on campus when it comes to student athletes that they get to know. Now, will they eventually know the rest of the department? In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. Like, not on a personal level, like we are with our students we recruit. So to have a full-time head coach and a full-time assistant coach on campus so that student can go knock on that door if they have an issue or a problem or whatever it could be. Coach, they just want to come in and sit down and talk about the WNBA, the NBA, history, which I can help them with a little bit. English, you got to go to see your professor. They just want to come in and just shoot, you know, the BS, whatever. I think that is so important for both the coaches, but more importantly for the student athlete. Because, Coach, I'm not feeling very well today. What should I do? Well, reach out to your professors, see what work you're going to miss, see if they can send it to you. Get back, go to see the nurse on campus. To, you know, whatever they're going to give you, get back in your dorm room, get something to eat, relax, do your work, get some sleep. That's why I think it's very important for there to be at least one head coach full-time and one assistant coach full-time. Yes, 100%.
Coach, I just got through putting a check on a piece of paper in front of me, and that check is for any college administrators, presidents, decision makers, or whatever. Think about what's being said here. You should have resources available. We're probably talking mostly to the small colleges, but even the big colleges.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have those resources available for those student athletes to be able to fall back on so they can develop into the best young men and young women that they can possibly be. You got to have those resources. And how else can you service your population and your students if you do not have that support available to help these young men and these young women grow just by having that ear there? Somebody that knows them by their first name instead of just by someone that you're going to put them in some difficult situations, classes or whatever. Not every student's the same, Coach.
No. And, you know, I've been very, very fortunate, and I'm thinking I'm going to be very fortunate at Mary Baldwin as well. every college or university I've been to, Coach, I, again, we'll give faculty credit. I've never heard of a faculty member turning a kid down that wanted to come in and get extra help, like if it's for a class or whatever. But, again, you know, like you said, they don't know them like we know them. They know them as a student. We're recruiting them and their families. We're recruiting them as people, their families as people. You know, my philosophy is I'm not just taking you, player A. I'm taking player A and I'm taking your family. Whoever's going to be at that house to help you make your choice, because a lot of these kids, they do have help and support for them to make their choice. I'm recruiting that person as well, too. I mean, in some cases, it could be a boyfriend who's helping make the choice. It could be a girlfriend who's – whoever it is, I want to get to know that person, because if you do hit a roadblock, if you do hit a roadblock, I want to be able to help you, and that might be reaching out to that person that helped you make that decision, help you. Because, you know, it's like I tell a lot of people, I have three girls of my own. My name is on all of these kids' birth certificates. There's got to be somebody there at home that helps.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Coach, I can say this. Last week, there were four people in that emergency room with me. One was a girlfriend that went to another college. The other was a faculty member that happened to be helping that student at the time. I was the third, and then there was the patient, the student. And if it hadn't have been for the glitch, I don't think nobody would have called me to let me know. And it just so happened that it was a higher power that had me call in at that certain specific time period. And I can tell you now, the parents were so thankful that I was on the phone and that I was there, and that student will never forget it. But yet, if there were coaches on site at that school, just like there should be coaches on site to support the athletes instead of, I mean, you got to have one. You got to have somebody that's there to support them. And, you know, Coach, we can actually talk about so many other things. I mean, there's other topics and areas that I feel, you know, can be covered or should be covered in reference to you know, some of the things that you're going to be doing at the college that prospective students and even parents may need to know about you or just about the life and time of, you know, college basketball coaches and of the experiences that students have when they're student athletes at colleges. You know, I really love the passion that you've shown in expressing all the things and presenting everything that, you presented today. And, you know, I would hope that you would be interested in, you know, coming back on sometime in the future so we can cover some of the other areas that we didn't get a chance to discuss in reference to, not just, you know, a little bit more about you, but about philosophy and, you know, some of the personal touches that you bring to your coaching from experience, and even talk about some of the successes that some of your players have had that you've coached in the past. I mean, there's so many areas to cover when it comes to doing what we do. And at this time, I would you know, like to see if you have any other thing to say, or maybe Peter might have some questions that he wants to ask of you.
Well, before anybody asks me any questions, Coach, it would be an honor for me to have the opportunity to come back on your show, and I would do it without any hesitation. So, Peter, if you have anything, you go ahead, sir.
No, I just I've spent some part of this radio show between listening to you and Coach Irvin checking out Mary Baldwin University, and it looks like a really cool school. It looks like a really great school, especially their mascot. I mean, how could you blame a flying squirrel?
Oh, you mean fighting squirrel. We are the fighting squirrel. We are the fighting squirrel, Peter. We are the fighting squirrel. I will tell you, I had the opportunity to go down about a month and a half ago and do an on-campus with the powers to be and meet some faculty members. I got an opportunity to meet the president. And, Coach, I'll be honest with you. When I pulled on the campus, just driving up to the campus, up the hill to the campus, I was just totally impressed. I was very, very impressed with the school. And we are the Mary Baldwin University Fighting Squirrel. I love the nickname. I love the nickname. I mean, the nickname just blew me away. I was like, yeah, I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah. And it looks like such a great school, established in 1842. So it's got a long history, I'm sure, great buildings, and just a great culture. I'm just so, you know, it's just going down memory lane, if you will, just kind of saying, you know, what would it be like to be a student picking a meal plan, going on campus, trying to figure out how to make it work? I mean, it's not cheap. I mean, geez, if you paid sticker price, that's $60,000 a year, like for being there and the food and the traveling and the dorm, and $60,000 plus per year. So it's – now, I know that they say that many people may not pay that, and maybe athletes get, you know, some sort of a discount, but college is an investment, man, more so than ever before. And you need that diploma. You need the athletics, and you need the experience, but you also need that diploma, if that diploma is going to mean anything to you as far as getting a job. But you got to make that work, and you got to make it worth it. So it's such a really exciting time, not just for you being there, but for those students to get an opportunity to work with you with so much experience. So we hope you come back, and we hope you give us some examples of, you know, some of the lessons. And if you have any kids that you want to highlight, I'd like to be whatever kind of part of that we can possibly be. Coach Irvin has had some of his students here on the radio show, and makes a difference. You know, it may be a teeny-weeny part of the chapter of that university in their life, but it's a teeny-weeny piece, and it could actually make a difference one way or another, maybe start a journey. We'd like to become part of that as well. So I appreciate you being here. So for those people listening in, we'll make sure that Coach Brad Ride Out has a guest page, and you can go check out Mary Baldwin University, marybaldwin.edu, if you go there. And it's just cool to have you here, so I really appreciate you being here.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me, and I look forward to the next time we get a chance to talk, and I am really, really looking forward to my starting journey at Mary Baldwin University. I really am. Beautiful school, beautiful place. So I'm really looking forward to it. And hopefully we can make good things happen down there while we're there.
No doubt. So, Coach Irvin, I'll let you wrap it up.
Well, Peter and Brad, you know, what more is there to say? You know, very, very great information, Coach. I really appreciate having you on. You said a lot of wonderful things, and you hit on a lot of very important topics. Family is the number one topic that you talked about, not only family and developing that culture within a college environment. Family, when it has to deal with a coach who's spending an awful lot of time building that team concept and family within the college environment, but also understanding the importance of that full circle, which has to deal with families, not just your team, not just the team that you're developing and building,
right,
but even the
right.
family within the university structure, and your family, and their family. I mean, four corners, man. Protect the four corners of your home. You know,
for sure. And Coach, you continue to do what you're doing. Continue to be positive and touching not just your young men's lives, but any young person's life comes before you. You continue to make their life important and play that important role in their lives. And I just want to say I cherish your friendship, and may we be around for another, I don't know, 30, 40 years.
I hope so, man.
Okay.
I really hope so, because, you know, the world needs a lot of guys like you, Coach.
And, well, I appreciate that.
Let's just continue to do everything that we can do to make make it work and make it happen for, you know, any and all those people that we touch. And Peter, I really appreciate you and the forum that you have put
together.
Yes,
Peter, I second that.
Okay, well, great. I look forward to this. This is what makes it all worthwhile, and this is a great radio show, and thanks, Coach Brad, for the great things that you're doing, and certainly Coach Irvin Harris for all the wonderful things we do, and I'm so glad we were able to put this together. So you'll be able to hear this again. For those people listening in, go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Coach Irvin Harris, or just look for Irvin Harris, and we'll make sure we have a guest page on the new platform for Brad Ride Out, so it's going to be really easy to get in there. We hope to have everybody back. On that note, thanks for being here. We'll catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our feed. Success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.